Welcome to another episode of the PFF College Football Show. I'm Max Chalk, alongside a very, very special guest right now, Rhett Lashley, the SMU head coach. Coach, thanks so much for taking time out.
Hey, Max. Thanks for having me on.
Of course. So my first question to you is, it really seemed like SMU turned a corner last year. You guys won 11 games, which was the first time in over 40 years that happened. What do you think really went right for the Mustangs last year?
Yeah, it really all came together for us at the right time. We needed to have a breakthrough year. You know, we've won more games than anybody in the state of Texas in the last 5 years. Mm-hmm. So we've been winning, but we hadn't won a championship until this year, and really since 1982 outright, 1984 in general. And, you know, we'd won 11 conference titles before, but 40 years is a long time. And then, you know, making the jump into the ACC and a lot of momentum behind our program. We just felt like we really needed to break through, and we did. You know, I think we got a group last year that, you know, in this day and age of college football with the transfer portal and NIL and all the many things going on, it's harder than ever every year to have a, you know, connected team unless mm-hmm. you're winning. And I think we had a group that bought into just kind of that uncommon approach of we're going to be a team. Our goal is to win the conference title. Whatever that takes, kind of die to the self goals. I mean, they all want to do well, but they all actually bought into it, put action behind it, and I'm really, really happy they got rewarded for it.
Yeah, and some teams, you know, win based off a great offense and win off based off a great defense. You guys were actually one of four teams in the entire country last year at a top 10 graded offense and defense. I mean, Michigan, Alabama, and Notre Dame, the other three ones right there. How much pride as a head coach do you take in not really having any real weaknesses on your roster?
Well, I think that was the biggest thing. We were a team, you know. Mm-hmm. Over the last decade, really, we've had good offenses here at SMU, but we'd not played championship defense in 4 decades. So,
yeah,
kind of no shock that we hadn't won a title, and we had not had a top 40 defense since 1984. And so, for Scott Simons and that defensive staff and those kids to come in and do what they did, and have really in a lot of games a fairly dominant defense. We still ended up having a pretty good offense, to your point. We got better as the year went on, but we really played good team ball, and there was a few games we had to outscore people, but then there was a lot of games we got a lead, and we were able to play complementary football and still be who we are. And like I said, that balance is key, and to be really good on offense and defense, I think that's what a championship team has to do, and we were fortunate to do it, and now we got to continue to keep that going.
Yeah, absolutely. So obviously you mentioned it before. I mean, the biggest story surrounding your program right now is the first year in the Atlantic Coast Conference right now. How excited are you about your team going up to the Power 5 level?
Man, I'm really excited. I guess you call it Power 4 now.
Power 4, yeah.
We're new, so we're not sure what to call it. But, you know, I do hate some of those labels in college football. But we're playing on the biggest stage. We're playing on the national stage where our program has been before. We feel like it belongs. We feel like everything with our university and our city and everything we offer, that we can be competitive. We're moving up in weight class. You know, we've got to channel our inner Roy Jones Jr. and be able to win titles in different weight classes. And that's a change. That's an adjustment. Football's the same. We feel like we have a roster that can compete in the league we're in. I was in it just 3 years ago, so I'm familiar with it. At the same time, you know, we're not naive. I mean, you look at the four teams that went into the Big 12 last year, not one of them had a winning record, and only one of them went to a bowl game. So it's an adjustment. And the biggest thing is you go from playing two or three, quote, power schools a year to 10.
Yeah.
And so how will we handle the week in, week out? Will we be, you know, we have good luck or bad luck with the injuries and just kind of that not on a one-game approach, but week in, week out, how do we adjust to that? And, you know, I don't know. But I like our team, and I'm excited to see how we handle it and go compete.
Yeah, absolutely. So obviously you mentioned, we were talking a little bit before the interview, how your leader on your team, your quarterback Preston Stone, finally cleared today, which is absolutely great news for not only your program, but for college football in general, honestly. He had a stellar year last year. What do you think makes Preston such a special quarterback in college football?
You know, I think it was Preston's first year as a starter, and I think for him to go out and just compete, you know, two of his first four games were on the road at Oklahoma and TCU, and so that's kind of like, hey, welcome to college football. And
yeah,
he's like our offense, really. He got better and better as the year went on, and Preston's a little bit of a playmaker. He's a little unorthodox. We kind of call him Fran Tarkenton around here, which – some people may not even know who that is. He's so old, but like he'll run around sometimes and do a lot of things as a coach. And you're like, what are you doing? But he's really good when the play breaks down, and he's really good in making plays at the same time, not turning the ball over. And that's rare. You know, but also, you know, when we lost him, unfortunately, we were able to have a guy like Kevin Jennings, who's a conference or a state championship winning quarterback in high school, excuse me, here in Texas, come in, and all he does in his first career start is win the conference title game. And so we feel really good about those guys that we have, two guys that are starter caliber here as we head into the ACC.
Yeah, it seems like Preston had a lot of those like no, yes plays on his tape, honestly. He has some unbelievable plays. I love him. I think he's one of the best quarterbacks in college football right now. He's got a really good pass catcher to throw to as well, and your tight end, RJ Maryland, who I was watching his tape a couple days ago. I like him a lot, too. What do you think it is about him that makes him such a dynamic receiving threat at tight end in your offense?
Man, he's just so versatile. I mean, he can run for a tight end. He's like, we had Kylan Granson a few years back, mm-hmm. who plays for the Colts now. He's similar to Kylan in how fast and athletic and explosive he is, but he's longer and a little bit longer than Kylan. And he's come in the first 2 years, he's put on some weight, you know, and his freshman year, he was more of just a pass catcher. Last year, he was able to play closer to 240. I think you'll see him physically his best this year. You know, and hopefully we don't have to play him as many plays. It sounds weird to say about a great player, but so he doesn't break down and throughout the course of the season. But you can line him up in the backfield. You can put his hand down at tight end. You can put him in the slots. You can put him all the way out wide. He can really do it all. I mean, he's got the tight end matchups, but he's got the frame and the playmaking ability of a big-time wideout. And if you look in the NFL, that the Travis Kelce's, the George Kittle's, you name it, that's the kind of guy that scares people. And so he's a matchup problem for other people, for us, and he's versatile, allows us to play in 11 and 12 personnel and be pretty explosive. And he's had two really good years. In 2 years, he's one touchdown away from breaking the school record for tight ends here. So I think if he can stay healthy, I think you could see him have a breakout junior year.
So moving over to the defensive side of the ball for a second. I mean, one guy who I thought was one of the most underrated players in college football was your edge defender, Elijah Roberts, who had an elite 91.3 grade from PFF last season. Do you kind of agree with us and feel like he's one of the more underrated players and should be receiving a lot more buzz than he's getting right now?
I do. I mean, I thought he should have been the unanimous conference player of the year in our league. But when you're leaving the league, you don't get a lot of coaches' votes. And so he's really good because he's all around. He's not just a pass rusher. He can stop the run. He can play first, second, third down. You can leave him outside on third down. You can bring him inside on guards, which is really unfair on third down. But most important is just the motor he has, the work ethic, and the kind of leader he is. You know, there's zero ego there. He just wants to get better. And he just benefited from a change of scenery and being put in a position to be successful, and he did. But he's played in the league we're going right back to. And I think he's really motivated to prove he can have the same kind of production in the ACC that he had last year.
Yeah, absolutely. And then a couple guys I wanted to shout out on the offensive line, Logan Parr, Justin Osborne, two guys. Now, will Justin, is he going to be moving to right tackle for you guys this year from the interior?
Well, honestly, so far in the first 11 practices, he's played center the whole time.
And, interesting. Okay.
You know, Justin, he can play all five. He's without question going to get drafted in a year if he stays healthy. And he's kind of the leader up front for us. You know, in my first 2 years back here, he's played a lot of guard, and he's really, really a good guard.
Yeah.
Last year, the last half of the season, we had some injuries. Our right tackle went down, and so we just popped him out to right tackle, and he was probably our best tackle last year by a long shot in those four or five games. And he could definitely do guard or tackle for us, but right now we're trying to develop him. Coach Justice is as a center. He's a super athletic center. Like, if he can do it, he may end up being the best in the country just because he's so athletic. He's proven now he can handle it. So he's a weapon for us because when your best O-lineman can play all five spots, that's a good thing. And So I've been really proud of Justin. And then Logan Parr came in last year and really gave us some physicality at left guard, and that's what we needed.
Yeah, absolutely. And then I want to go back to the defensive side ball for one more guy, and Ahmad Walker, who I thought was one of the more dominant run defenders at linebacker in the entire nation, honestly, last year. How valuable is having someone like Ahmad at the second level of your defense?
Yeah, it was huge. I mean, obviously a good D-line makes everybody behind him better, but Ahmad came in and had been with Coach Simons at Liberty, so he knew the defensive scheme, and he just played a lot of football. So that veteran experience really helped us. He's not going to go out and test and be the biggest and the fastest guy in those kind of combine settings, but he's a football player. His instincts are really good. He can tackle in space. He plays downhill. He's really, really smart. I mean, he captains that group from the second level for us at a high level, and really excited to have him back, you know, as we make this jump.
So, Coach, I've mentioned so many amazing players that are coming back to SMU next year. What do you think are the biggest strengths of your roster right now as you head into 2024?
You know, I'd like to think You know, it's probably two things. I think it's probably our togetherness. I just think we have a really good culture. I think credit our players and our coaching staff in this climate. You know, last year we brought in 41 new faces to a team and we won a championship. And those guys deserve that credit for having that kind of togetherness that's uncommon. And then I think the second thing is going to probably be, you know, our leadership and experience. Just we're an older team. A lot of the guys we brought in either our first year here that had a couple years to play or last year that had 2 years to play are now kind of playing their last year. And they at least know what a championship team looks like. Now, again, we're moving up to a different level. But I think that experience, I think the success breeds confidence, and we had a lot of success last year. So they're a confident bunch. They believe in each other. They believe in what we do. And that should help us, you know, with all the adversity we're going to face week in, week out in the ACC. So I'd say our togetherness and really just our experience and the veteran pieces we have at key spots.
So you mentioned before how the new Big 12 schools kind of struggled in their first year. At least here at PFF, we do not anticipate that too much for you guys. We have you guys as one of the top 25 teams in college football heading into next year. But what would you say to some of the people who say, oh, it's going to take SMU some time to adjust from the Group of Five to the Power Five level, some of the doubters in the face your program right now?
It's a good question. I mean, look, I don't know what's going to happen. I know the caliber of teams we're going to play. You know, some of it depends on can you stay healthy. We probably aren't going to have the same depth that some of the people we're going against have. But if we can stay healthy, you know, if we can do a good job as coaches week to week of keeping them fresh and getting them to the game, I mean, I don't know. That's what's exciting. You know, I think we have a team that can beat everybody on our roster on a given week. And you can't say that going into every year. At the same time, we could probably lose to most of them too, right? So I think the biggest thing is people, you know, we want to have excitement and optimism. We also want to have tempered expectations. But I know this, we're going to go into every game thinking we can win, or we're going to expect to win. And then we'll see what happens from there.
So as a head coach of college football, obviously the game is changing so much. We're heading into the 12-team playoff era, even reports of it even expanding further than that. Obviously, you mentioned before NIL has changed, the transfer portal has changed a lot as well. What are your thoughts as a head coach of college football on where the game is going right now?
Yeah, I think we're all kind of just in reaction mode, to be honest with you, as coaches. You know, we don't have a lot of voices in influencing change in this equation. You know, we get asked our opinion, and we try to give it, and but we don't have a lot of say in what happens. But what we have to do is, hey, you give us the rules, what they are, and we're going to go compete by them and try to build the best team we can. And hopefully, I know we are here. Hopefully, most coaches still care about the kids and try to lead and mentor and develop the right way. You know, as a coach, when you say it's hard, people get all negative and try to say, well, you know, what do you mean it's hard? You get paid this and you get paid that. Like, we're not saying it's hard from, like, we're not willing to work or we want it easy. We're coaches. There's nothing we do that's easy. We're used to solving problems and overcoming things nonstop. It's just, I hope that we will make decisions in the next year or two to settle college football to some consistency and do what's best for the players, not what they want all the time. Like, what's best for them? And there's a lot of things. Like, they deserve to get a piece of the pie. I mean, they're a big part of the product, and they deserve to have freedoms and all that. But just like my kids that I'm raising, you know, structure is good for everybody. Yeah. And so if we can get some structure and consistency, whatever that is, so even the players can have that consistency, because they're dealing with a lot of things that no one's ever had to deal with in college football, then I think I could answer that question better. Right now, it's just, you guys tell me what the rules are, because they seem to change every month, and we're going to do the best we can to compete and make SMU the best we can and take care of our guys.
So, Coach, I know this might be hard for you to envision, but imagine I'm like the number one recruit in the country right now, and you're in my home trying to convince me to come to the SMU and be a part of your program. What would be your pitch to your recruits that you recruit, honestly, to get them into your program?
Yeah, well, it depends if you're in the state of Texas or in Dallas or not. It might tweak a little, but I mean, why wouldn't you come here? Like, why wouldn't you come to a place like SMU that's in the number one city in the country for jobs, number one city in the country for sports and business? It's a top five media market. You got a top 100 university. The degree carries a lot of weight. Our Life After Ball program is better than anywhere in the entire country, and I think I could prove that. We've won, like I said, in the last 5 years, we've been winning. We've won a championship. We're going to a league that we can compete in and win and get in the playoff and compete for the whole thing. And so, you know, you can go somewhere where things have been done a lot before and just be the next guy, or you can go somewhere and you can kind of carve your own path. You come to SMU and you win a championship, and I mean a conference championship in the ACC or even a national championship, you're going to make a lot more noise than if you go to, say, Alabama, where they've won, you know, who knows how many. And so, you know, we want people that believe in themselves, bet on themselves, and want to come build something and do something special, maybe something that hadn't ever been done before.
Coach, if you're willing to offer me, I'm willing to commit right now on the spot. I'm sold right now on your program.
Perfect.
But I appreciate the time, Coach. It's a fantastic interview, and I am so excited to see what you guys can do this season.
Thanks, Max. Appreciate you.